Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Try not to be big. I told you so, people on this podcast. We're not big on we said this, you know, this and that. But this is one of those times where I can do it because several days ago, for those of you that follow my writing, I can't remember if I had mentioned it on the last podcast or not. But if you follow my writing on Twitter and at thelibertyline.com, I pitched a potential WR3 candidate for the Eagles who clearly needed one as camp went on. Paris Campbell was dealing with injuries. Nia Smith, Johnny Wilson are rookies. Can't expect a ton from them in their rookie seasons. And then we got wind of potentially new head coach Dan Quinn in Washington not being a big fan of Jahan Dotson as the WR2 battle went on over in Washington. Obviously, McLaurin is the lead man over there. They have Alamide Zaccheaus. They got Dyami Brown out of school. And Jahan Dotson was falling out of favor over there as camp went on. So me and the way that we think over here in Philadelphia, the minute we hear about a receiver potentially becoming available, oh, he would be the perfect slot guy if the Eagles were able to go ahead and get him. So I wrote it up, put it out, and say, hey, the perfect upgrade for wide receiver 3 might be available soon. Keep an eye on that. And lo and behold, 4 days later, here we are with the Eagles trading for wide receiver Jahan Dotson, pulling him away, getting him out of Washington for the price of a 2025 third-round pick and two seventh-round picks. The Eagles, in return, get Dotson as well as a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. So we're here to break all that down for once, Steven. For once, something happens before we get on the show. Feels good that something like that finally happens. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this edition of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, all of the sort, at the Philly Pod. Do the same for my co-host, Steven Conrad Jr. Steven, how's it feel to finally talk about some news that happens before we get on the show and not after? We got to edit, we got to do all this, and then we have to talk about the news like 2 days later by the time we do another show. It feels good to finally have breaking news on the show. It doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, especially, you know, I anticipated that we were going to see a Howie Roseman trade at some point.
It felt like one was going to happen.
Yeah, whether it was right before the season or maybe a few weeks in heading into the trade deadline. But honestly, maybe it's just me. I didn't expect it to be for such a, I don't want to say a premier name at wide receiver, but I didn't expect that considering, you know, I just figured, sure, wide receiver 3 was a concern with this team. We've been talking about it for weeks now, but I've kind of accepted and came to conclusions that the mindset was like, well, you know, we're just going to work with all these guys we have. We talked about it last time, really in depth, a few names, you know, competing for spots, roles. But the thing that I feel like I didn't do a good enough job outlining was how crucial See, the wide receiver three is so crucial, especially on a team like this. You know, I don't want to put any bad energy into the air or anything like that, but yeah, their job is to come in and make plays when AJ Brown and Devontae Smith aren't getting targeted. And by the way, should probably mention,
available for whatever reason.
So that was right where I was about to get to. We've taken, I don't want to say, okay, maybe we have, we've taken their health for granted. I don't think either guy has really missed any time. Well, AJ Brown missed the playoff game, but we won't talk about that.
Devontae missed his first game off of that bullshit, like third and 17 screen pass to Gainwell or whatever it was on that third down.
So it's
against
one
the
game
Cardinals
each this entire time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So
I mean, AJ's been banged up here and there, but he doesn't miss games really.
So you know, I just didn't do a good enough job personally highlighting that. You know, God forbid one of them goes down for whatever the case may be.
God, we gotta look at Paris Campbell, WR2. We'd be in shit right there.
And you feel great. I mean, you highlighted the trade details, obviously, but we should probably talk about the player that he is now and how he fits on this team. And obviously, the reason he was on the trade block is because the Commanders. Here's the thing. They drafted him to be their wide receiver two alongside McLaurin, and the problem was he's never lived up to those expectations. I don't want to call him a total bust.
Well, he didn't live up to it last year. He had a really good rookie season.
That's true.
Exceeded expectations as rookie.
Seven touchdowns as a rookie is pretty impressive.
He didn't build
on
it in year two.
Smitty had seven touchdowns last year, right?
Yeah, he just didn't build on it in year two. Was the problem? That was their issue.
And it's also the Commanders too, like. Revolving door at quarterback. I think he was catching passes in his rookie season literally from like three different guys, I want to say, or maybe just two. Maybe it was literally just Wentz,
Heineke was a lot of his highlights. Like when you go and try to find plays, a lot of them come from Taylor Heineke. So
yeah, and obviously I guess some experience with Sam Howell, so a lot of moving parts over there. I mean, it's the Commanders, do we really need to say more? Obviously, they got Jaden Daniels in there, so that's yet another quarterback that would be throwing him the football.
New coaching staff altogether: Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury,
yep.
Guys that you have to, like, basically when new coaches come in, as we all know, you have to earn your keep on the team. It's not the same relationships you had prior. So Jahan Dotson had to earn his keep on the team, and Dan Quinn went on the record the other day saying, like, there's some other guys in the WR2 battle. I like Zacchaeus. I like Demi Brown. He didn't really mention Dotson until he got until the end there, and then that's when the speculation started, like, oh, maybe he's not that big. And then later on, in response to that, Dotson spoke with the Washington Post, Dotson did, and said that DQ didn't draft me. Each and every year in your profession, you have got to prove yourself. You got to prove what you're worth and what you're capable of doing. That's what I'm trying to do. So the minute he said that, the wheels started to turn, like, oh man, you might not be on this roster. So that's when all that stuff had started, to your point, when you have to like earn your spots when the coaches try to come in and install their own schemes, install their own regimes. And then if you don't fit that, you will be out regardless of your draft pedigree. So,
yeah. And the fans, you know, over there seem pretty high on Diami Brown. Is it? How do you say it?
Diami, I believe. Yeah. We scouted him a couple years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean,
fans are not happy about moving on from Dotson. I'll tell you right now. When I made the initial post, specifically on Instagram 4 days ago, suggesting the trade, the Commanders fans found it. And they all commented, like, this trade's never going to happen. Stop making stuff up. Fake news, this, and that. So going back to those today is pretty hysterical.
Yes.
But they are not happy, moral of the story. Not thrilled about moving on from Dotson.
I mean, I'm sitting here and, yeah, you're probably right. I would be upset if I was a Commanders fan, but I'd have to imagine that
I assume they're pivoting to Ayuk at this juncture.
I mean, you have to have a plan.
You can't just get rid of him and have no replacement. I assume they're making a play on Brandon Ayuk at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting when you have a young quarterback like that too. I feel like you'd almost prefer to surround him with a little bit more veteran experience at wide receiver. So I guess maybe they'll pivot and go that way. But here it makes perfect sense. Like, it was literally the perfect fit if you're Dotson, if you really think about it. Because here's the thing. I mean, sure, maybe he could have gone somewhere else. I'm not sure who was linked to him or who was interested, if that was the case. And he could go somewhere else and be like the second option and then maybe just find like a nice scheme fit for him and then get paid once his rookie contract is up. But here's the thing. He can come in here and be wide receiver three and play the role that he's best at. He's best in the slot. I mean, again, the Eagles, the way they coach the receivers, obviously you got Smitty and Brown on the outside, but I have to imagine Kellen Moore being here. You're gonna see a lot more guys moving around. Smitty used in the slot. Dotson's kind of similar to Smitty in a lot of ways, but he's more of a slot in my opinion. I think like for as slim as the Slim Reaper is, he's got that like vertical ability on the outside, and he can just make contested catches. And Dotson does that too, but it's just a little bit more different. I think he projects more as a slot. We'll have to see though. This is Kellen Moore, gives him another toy to use. It's hard to say. You said how many years left are on his.
He is entering the third year of his rookie contract. So he has 2 years left plus the fifth year option because he was a first round pick. So he played 2 years in Washington. He has 2 years remaining, and he has the fifth year option if the Eagles intend to do so. So if everything goes according to plan and this falls the right way, the Eagles could have Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Jahan Dotson for at least the next three seasons together and not have to worry about wide receivers or anything like that.
I got two takeaways from what you just said there. And again, it's literally the preseason, guys. We're it's week zero in college football. We got, you know, the final week of preseason for the NFL. This is what we do. This is content. I'm going to make two claims right now. I'm going to put two things out there, and you can answer them, feel however you want to feel about them. Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles have the best wide receiver trio in the league.
I'd say so.
Number two, Jahan Dotson is the best wide receiver three in the NFL.
I think the only real competition you would have with that, you'd probably look at Houston with Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs. You can argue them. You could have argued the Bengals back in the day. Not back in the day, but in the past when Tyler Boyd was there. Who's their third right now?
It was Jamar. Oh, now.
Is Jamar T. Higgins? Is it like Trent Irwin or somebody like that? Is he up there on the depth chart?
I don't know, but everybody's talking about using their tight end in fantasy because of that situation. But yeah.
They have the Bears aren't bad between DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. You could look at them. Mm-hmm. They got a pretty decent trio over there. So I think the Dolphins.
Yeah, the second statement.
Tyreek,
I mean,
Waddle.
All right, look,
Who's their third? Who's their third? Oh, they have Odell now. Odell.
Oh,
yeah, they have Odell. If
I
he stays
the
on
Ravens
the field.
Had a very solid trio last year. I don't know if it was the best, but it was very solid. It was
Odell was hardly on the field. That's the issue. When they used Odell, you know. Yeah. So you could argue Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Odell is up there. So they're definitely in contention for best.
You get
best
duos because obviously, you know, we were kind of the table for our case, you know, for our side of the argument there. But now it's a. But here's the point, though. The point is, yeah, maybe he's not the best wide receiver three in the NFL, whatever. But we went from like a complete question mark at that spot to like, come on, man, it's wide receiver three.
It was almost a worry. It was almost like, holy hell.
It was a concern. Absolutely, it was. Holy hell. But, you know, we're just asking Dotson to come here and be wide receiver three. It's huge. It's a huge difference between asking him to come here and be your second guy because that's – still a pretty tall task if you think about it. You know what I mean?
A task that he took on mightily in his rookie year. And it's not like that it was a steep fall off. It was the fact that Jahan Dotson only played 12 games his rookie season, and then he only amassed the same numbers in a full season in a pass-heavy offense. You know, they were throwing that ball. Eric Bieniemy was throwing that shit last year over there in Washington. In 2022, Dotson recorded 35 receptions, 523 yards, 2.7 touchdowns, 14.9 yards per reception. Last season, 49 catches, 518 yards, so 14 more catches, 5 less yards, and more games played, 10.6 yards per catch, only 4 touchdowns last year. So Washington wasn't happy with that. Obviously, Dan Quinn looked at that and said, I don't know if he's the guy. That's why they went out and got Zacchaeus, and they're looking to Deami Brown to try and see what they can do there. If I had to ask you, Stephen, what is Jahan Dotson's, if you had to guess, what would you say is the best game of his career to this point?
Best game of his career?
Best game of his career. For the 2 years he's been in the league.
When you say that, is this like opinion or is this just like based off the numbers?
From a stats perspective. What is his most productive game?
Of course, it was going to be against us. Was it the game we had the final touchdown to send it to overtime against us, I'm assuming? Man.
10 targets, 108 yards. Yeah, he caught 8 of 10 targets, 108 yards, the game-tying touchdown that sent the game into overtime. So we are very familiar with Jahan Dotson, as we should be, another former Penn State star that comes here along with Saquon Barkley. They didn't, I don't think they crossed paths in Penn State. Barkley came into the league, you know, so many years ago. But Dotson, obviously a Penn State star, had over 1,100 yards in his final year at Penn State. And now he comes back home along with Saquon. We're almost like the Nova Knicks here. I know you were saying it's only two players, but it's starting to get that feeling like, wow, we got camaraderie here. They were doing it with the Alabama players, the Oklahoma players. And now they to appease Hurts, and now we have Penn State boys coming back.
NFC
here.
East guys,
yeah,
you know?
NFC East. We're taking contributors from rivals this year.
All right, while this one wasn't, since I brought that up, while this one isn't anywhere near as gut wrenching as the Giants essentially letting Saquon Barkley come here. It's kind of fitting it worked that way, because that was one of the few holes. Well, again, we got to see how this team is, but one of the few holes off the top of your head on this team got him. Obviously, it was a trade versus free agency, but, you know, you get the point. As far as what happens,
same deal, though. Casted away a player, fell out of favor, don't really want to keep him around. You know, same situation. Obviously, to your point, not the same caliber of player, but Dotson is, if he carves up the Commanders twice next season, it's definitely going to be painful to them. We're not only going to beat division rivals next year, but we're going to add insult to injury with the players that we stole from them. So that is going to be hilarious in that right. But yeah, coming out of college, he was touted for his route running. You mentioned it. He was touted for his reliable hands. He doesn't drop a lot of passes. Not the fastest guy, 4.4 speed. Crazy that saying 4.4 isn't fast these days, but he has enough speed to get by. I saw this mentioned on Twitter. I forget the account that had mentioned it, so my apologies for that. But I'd mentioned it to you on FaceTime a minute ago, Steven, that CB1s have a hard enough time with AJ Brown. CB2s cannot even match up with Devontae Smith. What in the hell are nickels and cornerback three is going to do with Jahan Dotson out of the slot? Yeah, Dotson might have had his trouble with some second cornerback guys, but I don't know any nickels or cornerback threes that I can see on a depth chart currently that I can look at and be like, yeah, he might give Jahan Dotson some trouble. Like, these matchups that Kellen is going to dial up with these receivers, not even including Saquon and Dallas Goedert and the dynamic ability of Jalen Hurts, there's just so much talent at disposal for this offense that it's hard to wrap your mind around it at this point.
You know what else I think? I feel like you would hope Saquon Barkley is a heavy factor in this offense, period.
Better be. I'm not paying $13 million not to be, so he better be.
Right. I'm not saying whether, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look. It'll be a week.
There's going to be games where Dotson has like two targets and that's it. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Like, what I'm saying here is I feel like this is yet another indication, though, that this is going to, like, fans are probably going to get mad at it, but I think it's going to be a very pass heavy offense if it wasn't already, in my opinion. I think that only proves that point further. I think,
Does Saquon not get 20 carries a game?
He gets 20 carries a game.
You don't think he gets? He better. He paid him.
No.
What's he going to get? 15 and 5 catches? He has to have 20 touches. He has to have 20 touches, no matter how he slices.
20 touches a game?
He has to. You paid him to do that, yes.
I guess you would hope so. Yeah, around 20 touches.
Yes, you would hope so. What do you mean? Why is this a
15 carries, 5 receptions?
He better be getting 20 carries. It has to be close. Yeah, we were crying when Miles wasn't getting 20 carries, and now you're telling me Saquon's not going to get 20 carries?
I don't know. Maybe Kellen.
Unless you're playing from behind, which we shouldn't be for a lot of the year, but or if you have such a big lead that you're I just see they're going to have leads and you're going to run the ball with Saquon in the second half.
It's a week-to-week thing, though, man.
I don't see how he doesn't get 20 carries. I'm baffled that you think he won't, honestly.
So you think when the season's over, he's going to average 20 carries per game?
Yes, or close to it. Yeah, better have 18, 19. He better be around that area.
Maybe I'm just not, really off.
We're not paying him $13 million to run the ball 12 times. We're not doing that.
Well, what if it's – okay, fine. That's a good example. Maybe there's a game where he only gets 12 carries. What if he has like 5 to 8 receptions? Like,
well, then we must have been playing from behind. And we must have been playing from behind then.
Well, that's bullshit.
The game script must have
go on a different way. Because you have to think.
We're playing 10 points. If we're winning 24-14 and you're not running the ball with Saquon, there's an issue.
Forget the having lead, whatever the hell you're saying. At the end of the day, it's four quarters of football. Let's just think this through for a second.
And see, over 60 minutes and Saquon runs it 12 times, something bad happened.
Listen,
maybe it's
12 carries for Saquon. Maybe Hurts gets like 5 to 7 rushes. That's probably what he averages. Maybe Kenny Gainwell gets 5. So you're looking at about 20.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Maybe Will Shipley will get like one or two carries and a few targets in the passing game, and like you're still falling around 30 rushes.
Yeah, I get it. But if you're running the ball 30 times, Saquon needs 18 of them by default. Like you have to.
I keep getting you to bring it down. I mean, you were at like 25. You said at one
anywhere between 18 and 20. I never said 25. Anywhere between 18 to 20. He better be touching the ball 18 to 20 times a game. And if he's not, why do we pay him $13 million? This is the. You didn't pay him to not use him. I don't understand. I'm not saying not use him.
I'm saying he's going to get the ball in the passing game.
Go ahead. Go ahead with the original point. Go ahead.
We didn't throw the ball to our running backs last year. We didn't do it. It never happened. The only time we threw the ball to our running back is when Hurts and DeAndre Swift had a miscommunication in the passing kickoff. After the entire fucking preseason, we were throwing wheel routes. They're talking about all these reporters like, oh my God, the Eagles are going to be throwing the ball to the running backs. Oh my God, Swift looks great in the passing game. He looked terrible in the passing game last year. We have Saquon Barkley here. We have Kellen Moore. They're going to be throwing the ball to the
running back. He didn't look terrible. They just didn't use him, all right? When they did use him, he looked good whenever they did use him.
That's not my problem. That's their problem.
The way Dotson fits into this is what? What was your original point?
Well, he's not.
We're going to be a pass heavy offense by default.
He's not Alameda Zacchaeus.
Oh, he's not going to do the dirty work. You're saying he's not going to do the dirty work.
Alameda Zacchaeus was a run blocker for a wide receiver 3. We have Jahan Dotson now. We are throwing the football. We are throwing the football this year. Saquon might have 10 receptions the first game against Green Bay. I got to take a look at their defense. It's time to start previewing that matchup. I'll let you know.
Oh my God. Okay? We're getting 40 pass attempts from Hurts.
Saquon only getting 12 carries. Who the fuck cares? Let's score 40 points per game, make Jalen Hurts a 5,000 yard passer. When it gets cold in December, January, you can feed Saquon 45 carries for all I give a fuck. You can run the tush push every single drive. I don't care. All right. We're going to score 40 points per game. We got to be the best offense in the league and then flip the script in the playoffs, run it down their throats.
Oh, I got tears.
What do you care?
Oh my God. I don't care. I'm just saying, like, why we're getting Jalen Hurts is going to have 40 pass attempts every game. We can't do that. I'd be happy if Hurts had
300 without throwing an interception in training camp. It's all out there in front of you guys. I'm trying to explain to you. We're throwing the football. We are throwing it. You don't talk about getting paid. That guy's getting paid to throw the football.
We haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since, like, Carson Wentz that year when we had no 500-yard receivers.
It's time to put all that to bed now. Everything's in place. They just got him the best wide receiver 3 in the fucking league. We're throwing the ball. They drafted Will Shipley. Will Shipley, what is he known for? He's not known for running between the tackles. He's a receiving back. You give that guy the screen pass, he took it 18 yards in preseason.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
Saquon better be able to receive the ball. What do you mean? I'm not saying he's going to. It's Saquon Barkley. I'm saying we better get
20 carries. Is all I'm saying. If there is games where we are struggling and Saquon is not carrying the ball, then I don't understand why we paid him now 20. Okay, we'll meet in the middle on 20 touches. If you want to do 12 carries, 8 catches, fine. That's fine with me.
20 touches, 20.
That's fine.
You don't want to run him into the ground.
You got Hurts running the ball 8 times a game when we have Saquon. That's wild. On designed runs?
Or
by scrambles.
You know he's running
or
the
by
ball.
Scrambles. I know he's going to run the ball, but if we have
he's
8 designed runs for Jalen.
A game. I didn't say 8 design. He's going to. See, this is the thing.
Four of those are going to be from scrambles where he just takes off.
probably. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, man. Big Jalen Hurts, a 5,000 yard passer. That's hilarious. That's funny. If it happens this year, I mean, you got the tools. That's to your point. They have the tools to do it between AJ, Devontae,
Dallas
Dotson.
Goddard? Did I mention?
No, we haven't. He's always the forgotten one in this, and he's been clamoring for a 1,000-yard season for years now. He's like, I want that 1,000-yard year. I don't know if it's going to happen this year because now you have Dotson in the mix.
You
want to
know what I got to say about that?
Sorry,
buddy. Keep a very, very close eye on Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah, very good camp. He emerged as WR2. CJ Uzama cut.
You mean
he
tight never end looked,
too? Was, I mean, yeah, sorry, tight end too. Uzama got cut, never looked good in camp, never impressed. Towards the end of it, like, he made some plays, but never. He's just, that man is kind of just cooked by this point. 31 years old. His good years were in Bengals, didn't do anything. He got beat out by, like, Tyler Conklin on the Jets, so nothing doing there for CJ Uzama. But yes, Dotson, couldn't ask for a better wide receiver 3 upgrade. He's going to, when AJ, for whatever reason, if they are occupied, Smith and AJ, Dotson's going to be carving somebody up over the middle, and Jalen Hurts will find him. Jalen Hurts, so many weapons at this disposal, and yes, Saquon Barkley in the passing game will be one of them. Not saying he's not. But my God, and Dotson
Grant
also Calcaterra, brings
Terra, tight end too. He is a receiving tight end. What is his weakness? He is not good in the blocking game. We are throwing that thing.
So who can
year.
Block
that
at this point? So you mentioned no more Zacchaeus, no more Jack Stahl. Who the hell's blocking?
I don't. Hey, maybe Dot. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
hey, Saquon's a good blocker. I don't know what Dotson's blocking prowess is. I haven't gone that deep, so I don't know.
You just
Saquon's
said
a very good pass blocker. Yes, pass blocker. I don't know about he's hoops. I don't know about
we're paying him to be a pass blocker, right? That's even worse.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
And not receiving.
Hey, keeping Jalen Hurts upright is priority number one. Priority number one. So if Saquon is helping in that field, that is another reason why the Eagles paid him. In addition to getting 20 carries a game.
I think Dotson should play in this preseason game Saturday, to be honest with
you. I think he should, too. Cooper DeJean is. We'll talk about him in a second. He's definitely playing. That'll be the fun.
Gotta see. Kenny Pickett needs somebody to throw the ball to. Like, I don't know how to judge this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. Oh, I know how to. Very badly. Very badly. if the Eagles are interested, Dotson also does bring a punt returning skill set to that. He did it in college. If the Eagles are going to go down that route, looks like Britton Covey has that kind of role locked up again. So because of Naismith is dropping balls and punts anyway, he's looking good in camp.
Man, he's got to be pissed. He busted his ass for a year.
We'll talk about
it
now. We'll talk about it now, actually. Me and you, the last couple of days, have been screaming about Anais. He's had a good couple of days. He's turning a corner. He's making plays in camp, and he's had some one-handed catches that he's making on defenders as well. So it seems like – I feel like that two-point conversion kind of gave him some confidence, and now he's building it in camp. And now we're starting to think like, Anais might have a role maybe. If he keeps the momentum going, he can find his way into this offense – eat into the WR3 by committee, it seems like the Eagles are going to do, and then Dotson comes in and scraps all that. So I'm thinking Nyes is pissed when he's like, damn, I was making headway, and now Dotson comes in, and he's by default WR3. Paris Campbell as the fourth option? I'll take that. But encouraging days from a Nyes Smith in camp. Your thoughts when you saw the things being said about Smith the last few days?
I mean,
we're big and nice, guys. We're not hiding that. We're big and nice, guys. Here.
Yeah, I'm bummed for him, but I mean, what was he, a fourth round pick, right? Fourth or fifth?
Fifth round.
Hold
on now.
He's got quite the receiving core to learn behind. I mean, at the end of the day, this season.
Hey, by year three, he'll be nice.
This season was going to be an uphill climb for him, regardless. Yeah. Just because of even just the two receivers, but it seems like
Johnny Wilson, fellow rookie, who's ahead of him at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough. Probably practice. He's going to be on the practice squad, isn't he? That's what's going to happen.
It's looking that way. So how's the depth chart shakeout? AJ, Devontae, Dotson, Paris Campbell.
You think Paris is a lock for wide receiver 4?
I think he's a lock to make the roster, yes. Yes, he was never not going to be on the roster.
I see Covey over him at wide receiver
Covey will
4.
Be him. That's 5. And then you debate between Wilson and Anais at 6, and you keep the other one on the practice squad. Anais probably gets on the practice squad, and you got to hope nobody takes him off of there. You got to hope nobody comes and signs him. But I think he's shown enough in camp to make the Eagles think like, all right, there's something in this guy. So good things from Anais Smith so far in camp. Any other things on Dotson before we pivot to the next topic? I think we kind of covered everything we know so far. The trade just happened a little bit ago. Talk about manifesting stuff. We've been talking about manifesting. You've been on a tear, and finally something I write about, finally something I suggest, something I pitch happens in real life. I can't wait. I can't believe something for once happened. I couldn't believe it. But this is the, when I said 4 days ago that he's the perfect WR3 upgrade, I wasn't lying. He is certainly the best upgrade. He fits seamlessly into the offense. His route running is perfect for the slot, for what the Eagles are going to do and what Kellen Moore is going to do. we've been stating month after month since Kellen's been hired that the third receiver plays a pivotal role in his offense. He makes good use of those guys, every single guy. Michael Gallup, when it was Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup was the guy. He had very productive seasons. The wide receiver three conversation now ends. We were talking about some other guys in Houston between Mechie and maybe Noah Brown or Robert Woods you would get out of there or some other guys. But now they got one.
Yeah, like when Dawson. You had mentioned all, like, I feel like we've had this conversation for so long.
We mentioned Treylon Burks. We mentioned who's the guy in Carolina, the LSU receiver.
Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, we mentioned Terrace Marshall. Yeah, but this is a guy that I think this is the best fit of all the options you could have had at the position. I think this is the best one.
Well, so like all this time you've been mentioning this, I mean, it's been some months now, obviously, because we were well aware of the situation at wide receiver three for quite some time. I mean, I just was never excited to have the conversation because I didn't honestly think they could.
Yeah,
go
you
out
never
and
were
get
like thrilled. You were
well,
like, damn,
just, we... you know, it's just like nothing. You know, it just felt like. Because it felt like what they were doing in free agency, essentially at wide receiver three, just signing these older washed guys that were being honest or just like these very, very.
Who's old and washed?
Zacchaeus was very like nice for us last year, but like, come on.
Well, I mean, the Commanders have him now. They think he's WR2 in Washington, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean. Whatever, man.
They do. I don't know what Dan Quinn's doing over there, to be honest.
Can you bet a team? Can you bet? Do these sports books let you bet a team to get second in a division? Is that such a thing?
I don't know. I'm going to look at what Hurts' 4,000 passing yards is. Hey, it has to be plus odds.
Hey, if you can bet the Commanders to get second place or higher, if that's even a thing, I'm just going to say second place.
Over Dallas, you think? Yeah, even when I said Dallas, like what's going on with CD?
Can I just say I get these feelings sometimes, and I just get the sense that we could see a very similar season. Maybe I'm just I don't know what the word is. I'm not trying to pander, obviously, but something about Jaden Daniels and just the vibe around that team. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm a big fan of Jaden, like, personally. I feel
like it could be like RG3's first year, if you remember that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jaden. I like what he's shown promise in preseason so far. They already named him QB1, so even Brian Daboll was trying to get him over there in New York, and they opted to go with Neighbors. So I like what I see from Jaden. You could talk me into Washington being second, but I don't know who he's throwing to other than McLaurin. So we'll have to see if they get in on the IUK stuff or whatever happens.
Well, they're high on Dyami Brown, as I said earlier.
We know.
But you also can't forget. I believe is Zach Ertz still there?
Ertz is, yeah, still in Washington. Good pull. Yeah, he is over there.
Jaden Daniels is
how much he's
going to
do.
I mean, you know.
Hey, is there a chance Ertz ever comes back here and gets that receptions record? He says he wants it. Does he, like, come, like, one last hurrah before he wraps it up and get that reception record?
Better come soon. We got two elite receivers, you know.
Let me see. I know Carmichael leads it. Let me see how many receptions he is away from that. It's interesting to me the Eagles didn't get a tight end in this draft because we keep saying how they drafted Goddard when Ertz was around Goddard's age currently, and they still didn't do that. But they like Calcaterra, and they have Albert O waiting in the wings. For receptions, let me see. Harold Carmichael has 589. Zach Ertz has 579, 10 away from tying it, 11 away from breaking it. You think they bring him in one last time when it's all said and done to give him that record? That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. But we'll see what he does in Washington. Not expecting a whole lot from him.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Moving on to the defense. So it appears, as training camp wrapped up yesterday, as far as the CB2 battle is concerned, one of the hot battles of the summer, really the entire cornerback position other than Slay, who's still their best corner. Camp, solidified that he's still their best corner. Finally picked off Jalen Hurts in camp yesterday. Slay got one, so good on him for that. But it appears that Isaiah Rodgers, fresh off suspension in his first training camp since, has beat out very so slim margins, I'll say. I was going to say edge out, but I said that on Instagram, and everybody's giving me shit for saying edging, so I can't say that. But he edged out Kelee Ringo as far as the CB2 battle is concerned. Isaiah Rodgers has been the more consistent corner so far in camp. Kelee Ringo has had more highs and lows. He's kind of come back down to earth this week. That's what Davis and DeGuerro have had to say about it as far as camp this week. Tim McManus said that Isaiah Rodgers has been getting more of the first team reps, and he looks like that he is in line to start week one opposite Darius Slay against Green Bay. So your thoughts when you hear that? I know a lot of us are Ringo fans. We have big aspirations for Ringo later on in his career. But your thoughts when you hear that Isaiah Rodgers is seemingly CB2 for the time being?
I am not surprised. I actually saw this coming, if I'm being honest with you, if you want to get back on the
I bet you did.
Well, the only reason I say that is because people forget Isaiah Rodgers has been in this league a little bit longer, but also I think he just has more talent, and I don't mean this to take away from Ringo at all, but one of Ringo's knocks was like the thing with Ringo that makes him so good is he seems like a very high IQ player, but like let's not act like he's like running – I was almost going to say running him out of the gym, but he's not like the best athlete out there at the corner position. Like if I'm being generous, he's very average, but he's a hard worker, smart, obviously going to Georgia. I think Isaiah Rodgers has more natural gifted athlete ability. And unfortunately, when you play at that position, that's just what you need. And I would imagine both were competing on primarily playing on the outside. So that's especially crucial out there. So, but again, I'm not saying like Ringo's toast or anything like that. The corner room might be the.
It's not like Rodgers ran away with the team. It's not like Rodgers ran away with it. Like it's just that he showed more consistency, and they're like, we have to go.
Yeah, like if you pointed a water gun, I will say to my head in the off season before all this. If you asked me, who do I think would win out? I would probably side with Isaiah Rodgers.
Yeah, I think heading into camp, that's kind of what we had expected. But Ringo was closing that gap, with his preseason play. He was showing some stuff in preseason. To your point, I think Ringo has more raw talent with his speed and physical tools, and Isaiah Rodgers has the experience, and he looks more natural out there. I think is a good way to put it.
Oh, so you think Ringo's a better athlete than
Ringo? Ringo runs like what, a 4.3? Yeah, and
he runs a 4.3.
Yes, he's fast as shit.
That's straight line speed, though. I think he's
exactly.
A little
it's not.
Stiff.
It's not
he's
like it's not like football speed. It's
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. I'm literally going off of what I've seen. Like I'm just going off eye test. So I'm stunned by that because
his 40 time was like 4.3, I think. Let me find it.
I'm just going based off what I've seen on an NFL field. Like he just he looks a little bit more stiff.
Yeah, but Rodgers has the experience, and he's played outside before all that time in Indianapolis. Somebody in my IG comments were like, "I thought why is Rodgers playing outside? He excelled at the slot in Indianapolis. This man played 31 career snaps with the Colts. So this like Isaiah Rodgers slot stuff needs to stop. And it appears for now that Quinyon Mitchell is going to start in the nickel, a position that he didn't play at all in Toledo, hardly. But he took it on in camp, and Vic Fangio's doing work with them, and now Quinyon appears to be the start nickel guy. At least in nickel packages, he'll be the nickel, and then in like dime stuff, they'll have him outside, and they'll figure that out.
Okay, I'm glad you had said something about that, because I'm actually concerned now.
Oh, no. About what?
about the transition.
You think it's a lot for a rookie to do?
No.
Kelee Ringo runs a 4.36, dude. I knew he ran a 4.3.
Straight line speed. Jalen Reagor. Let's not do this. Let's not do this.
Oh, man. Preseason standout, Jalen Reagor, by the way.
What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
Ringo runs a 4.36. That is unbelievable.
Quinyon. So, no, yeah, it has nothing to do with him. You know, I think the world of him. He was the guy I wanted in the drafts, like, way before. It felt like a pipe dream, and then it happened.
It really was. Watching him in Senior Bowl, I was like, no fucking way he drops, and then he did somehow.
The thing I'm concerned with is actually Fangio.
In what sense?
Again, we will see. I am just throwing this out there.
He's not putting too much on his plate, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think he's a talented player. You've seen other corners do this. I'm pretty sure Ramsey did it when he came into the league. I think he literally played in the slot his first year or a few years, maybe. I could be wrong. But I'm just concerned. I hope it's not a situation like – I just hope Fangio – we will see. I just hope it's not a situation – I hope it's matchup dependent is what I'm saying. So, like, Slay, even at his age, and he's healthy now – is their best cover guy. We would agree, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Who's number two? Don't think
in
too
the secondary
hard
or corner or corners.
Secondary.
Probably CJ, you would say.
Let's just do corners then, since you wanted to get all fucking weird.
You said safeties.
Nah, let's not do that.
It has to be you. Probably Quinyon, you would have to say.
Right. So my worry is like, there's a world where I'm trying to think of.
Can't say Bradbury.
No, stop. I'm thinking of matchups. Does that make sense? So I'm thinking of who they'll be playing. And I just don't want it to be a situation where Quinyon's guarding this like an absolute scrub. And then
I don't think Fangio, I see what I'm saying.
I don't want to waste his talent. And then I'm scared that we're going to have one of our lesser.
Hey, he's got to get on the field, though. And if you're starting guys are Rodgers and Slay, you got to get
on the
field.
Oh, he should be on the field. I just said he's your second guy. I just said he's your second best.
He has to play. So what? If the slot receiver's ass, you don't want Quinyon to play? You lock him up. You lock his ass up then.
Well, it depends on the opponent. I mean,
nah, fuck that. If Slay and Isaiah are your locks on the outside.
Oh, perfect example. Let's talk about practice. This Eagles
defense.
You have
Quinyon locking Jahan Dotson up in practice. Hell yeah.
This is the problem. You see what I'm saying now?
I don't think it's a waste if he's on the field.
Secondary got cooked last season.
I don't think it's a waste if Quinyon gets to the point where Quinyon is evidently the better option at CB2, like they're not going to play him at nickel. They're not going to play him at nickel just because like, oh, we have to play him at nickel. They're going to play him there because it's the best option. If he looks like he's the better option at CB2 than Isaiah Rodgers as the season goes on, then they'll play him at CB2 and then Cooper DeJean will come in and play nickel and then they'll do that. I think it's going to be a case of, like you said, Matt, I think it's going to be a case of who looks the best against the matchups that we have, to your point. And if it looks like Isaiah Rodgers is struggling, they'll put Quinyon on the outside and they'll bring in somebody else for the nickel. I think they'll adjust. I don't think like Quinyon, you're the nickel for all 16, 17 games and this is what we're going to do. And Isaiah Rodgers struggling out there, but you're the nickel and you're going to play nickel. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Quinyon, we like you outside for this matchup, so we'll play you here. Isaiah will come in for this. Cooper, it's your turn to play nickel. I think they have so many defensive backs that they have the flexibility to do this. They're not just going to strap Quinyon to the slot because that's what they want to do. If the matchup dictates it, then they'll do it. But if Isaiah is fine outside and Slay is fine outside, then you put Quinyon in there and lock up whoever the sorry ass slot receiver is and do that. That's perfectly fine. I got no qualms.
I don't know why I had to use the Eagles as an example for the Eagles offense as an example for that, because I was sitting here thinking of week one against the Packers and I don't know their receivers or tight ends. It's like the weirdest.
The Packers?
I swear.
It's Romeo Doubs.
Yes, I know.
Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks.
They got like Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft at tight end.
Like, can I be honest with you?
Luke Musgrave. He's good.
His receiving prop every week was like 9.5 yards.
That's not Musgrave. You're thinking of somebody else. You're thinking of Tucker Kraft.
Maybe. I don't know. But dude,
Musgrave was like 36-ish.
Are they all
I was
young?
Betting it.
Are they all
yes,
young?
They're all relatively young.
I was going to say because I just remember like before they went on that run.
They don't have Alan Lazard and those guys anymore, man. They're gone.
Yeah, like
they all followed Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers brought them all to New York.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what I mean, though? Like, I guess they're just that young that I feel that way.
It's a good match. I think it's a good test for them because Jordan Love is rising and they have good receivers. Dobbs is really good.
Well,
I think
when
Dontavian
I look
Wicks
at them
good.
Last year, I'm not thinking like, oh, man, that guy's so dynamic. I'm just thinking like that scheme is so good. Like, I just felt like that offense was so well ran.
They were done. They tore down the Cowboys in the playoffs. So Christian
Watson, I mean.
Romeo Dobbs. You know who else is good over there? Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed can make some stuff happen. He's really good.
Yeah, like
and they got him on end of rounds. But I get it. It's a bunch of like.
No, I fear.
It's a bunch of solid receivers. A bunch of solid guys.
That's why I couldn't sit here and think. I'm like, yeah, I guess
you don't
I
want Quinyon locking up Dontavian Wicks in the
Watson's
slot.
Watson's a deep threat. He can run.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when he's healthy, he has injury stuff going on.
So but, like that makes sense. But then I'm sitting here looking at the thinking
you don't
of
want
these
Quinyon locking up Dontavian Wicks in the slot. You don't want to see that. I sure do. Week one, fuck yeah, give me that shit. I'll do that. While Slay's dealing with Watson and you got Isaiah Rodgers dealing with Romeo Dobbs over there. That's a
you know
that's
what's
perfect.
Not getting talked about enough.
What's that? CJ's putting Luke Musgrave in the dirt, by the way, when he comes down to match up on tight ends.
I hope so.
Oh, man.
I hope this, like, here's
I don't
the
understand
thing.
The concern. I don't understand the concern. You think if Quidyon shows that he should be playing outside, they're not going to play him outside?
I'm confident in our secondary. Like, I think they did tremendous work this offseason.
Should be worried about the safeties more so than the corners.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the safeties could be a situation as long as they're healthy. Obviously, CJ's back. He's a little bit older now, but
I kind of dig it, to be honest. When you think about it, Reed and CJ, you got Maddox who's showing value as backup.
I think
safety.
At the very least they'll be solid.
Man, like, but I know, man. These fans, when Bradbury steps on that field at safety, it's not gonna go. It's
yeah. So here's the thing, though. Like, would you say the best? I can't think off the top of my head, but the best safety pairing the Eagles have had. I'm not going way back. I'm just thinking very recently. You would have to say Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. And like, obviously Jenkins was a Pro Bowler. I'm not sure. McLeod was just like a very solid player.
He was just good. He never made the Pro Bowl.
So,
not here anyway.
And you felt good about them, but keep in mind...
Yeah, you were never worried.
They were surrounded with a really bad group of corners, okay? Like, let's just be honest. Like, it was like Jalen Mills, I don't know who else, I can't remember.
We won the Super Bowl with Jalen Mills
Robinson,
and Ronald Darby. And Patrick as your nickel, amazing.
It's not the case now. You got Darius Slay, even at his age, is great. Quinyon Mitchell projects to be, like, one of the better corners in the league for quite some time. Cooper DeJean could be very good, too. I mean, who knows? Like, I feel like I don't want to put a limit on him either. So I just think you're fine. You're fine at safety. You are fine. You are fine. If somebody
gets fine
hurt,
in the secondary, yes. So more of the story. Quinyon playing the nickel is fine. This is where we're at.
No, you brought up the questions about the safety or whatever. But
you said concerns about the corners. If you're going to have concerns about anything in the secondary, it should be the safety.
No, the only concern you're going to have is the growing pains, which is normal. Like, this had to happen. This had to happen. At least you still
you're
got
worried,
Darius
And then
play.
You're worried that Fangio is not going to use Quinyon to his strengths. That's what.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like a very little thing I'm just kind of throwing out there. It's
I understand.
Not like,
I get it. I get it. I understand where it comes from.
But I think it always comes down to this, and I know we always talk about how he undervalues linebacker. I mean, look, N'Kobe Dean's healthy. Like, you got to see what you have with him, obviously, and then they bring in Devin White. If you want to throw Trot in there too, I'm not sure how much he's going to play, but the make or break thing to me, it all comes down to the defensive line. And I don't know how I feel. I'm like so 50-50. Does that make sense? Like, I'm so 50-50 with it because the
a lot
pass
of unknowns
was,
there.
Yeah.
A lot of unknowns
like,
there.
And I feel great about Jalen Carter. I think he's a generational talent. But Jordan Davis is a question mark. Let's just be honest. Nolan Smith, this is a prove it year for him. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat.
Second year is
like
a prove
that.
It year already?
It's a prove it year.
Okay. It's a prove it year for Jordan Davis, more so than Nolan,
yes.
I think.
Bryce Huff, who feels like one of those like Howie Roseman like signings, like you give him the money now, and then if he pans out and turns into a
quality
player.
He was paid on potential.
Yes, paid on potential, but there's question marks there. there's question marks there. Like, let's be honest, the guy
Brandon Graham at 50 years old. Yeah, so there's question marks everywhere.
Am I missing something on that? Josh Sweat had a down
I don't say
year
that disrespectfully,
year.
By the way. He's literally like 36 or whatever he is. So
now
like,
here's well, the thing:
is Brandon Graham gonna give you 10 snaps a game?
I mean, come on, yeah. But Josh Sweat had a down year last year. Let's just be honest; it was a down year. I still believe in him as a player. I don't know. Like, we've seen him at his best. We saw him last year. I feel like he's been here so long.
That new number is not great, though. 19, no swag whatsoever in that.
Yeah.
Who was behind that? Who was behind that deal?
But
that'd be a great number on Dotson. Why does Sweat take?
I mean, we're talking about the defense here. I just think there's no way. There's no way the pass defense can be as bad as it was. It was like 30th last year.
No, there's no way it happens this year.
What was
they
the
were
pass
31st.
Where were we in sacks last year?
We fell a lot from grace. I know we didn't have the ones that we had the year prior. I know the pass defense was ranked 31st because they were allowing yards out the ass. I can get you the sack totals in just a second, but go ahead with your point while I pull that.
I feel like I'm really yapping right now, but what I'm saying is like I'm just trying to break down the unit position group by position group. But when you put it all together, you got to feel pretty good, I would say. As much question marks as I just went over, I think each position group can kind of like benefit from each other. You know, for early into this era, we will call it, of Eagles football, I would put this back to the Doug Peterson era when we won our first Super Bowl. It felt like Howie, as far as constructing a defense, put all of his money and investments into the defensive line, and as far as the back half, he will kind of just play the margins, right? Well, that doesn't really seem to be the case. He's changed, he's evolved a lot, and it feels more balanced. I mean, he's got Darius Slay making top dollar. He just used his first two picks in the draft on corners.
Had to. He had no option. The Eagles were
ranked
up
20th. Linebacker in the offseason. Like, yeah, he did. He did a little bit. So, we think this offense is going to be like we think
offense
this
is going to win you games at the end of the day.
Yeah, so
right.
Like
they should anyway with all the talent over there.
And we just sat here and broke down this defense as a whole. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just no, this defense has to be better than it was last year. Like, there's
the
just
Eagles
no way
were,
it isn't.
Eagles were ranked 20th in sacks last year with 43.
Now, I
they
will
had
tell you
73
this.
The year prior.
I'll tell you this. I know I've been yapping a lot. I sit here. The benefit of going young, obviously drafting and developing players is the way to go. That's just like the easiest path to a Super Bowl and long-term success, in my opinion. Obviously, you can do it via trade and free agency to a certain extent. But the biggest problem to me, sure, they were lacking talent on defense last year, but to me, they just lacked like speed and like athleticism. They just seemed old, washed, got Bradbury out there.
Last year was a bad mix of like talent that wasn't ready and talent that was too old, I think.
Yeah.
Like there was a bad mix of that. There was nobody like on the rise. No, but like it was just a bad mix of.
I mean, Nick Morrow was our starting linebacker against the 49ers.
And he started the year on the practice squad. Like,
you know what I mean?
It was just a bad mix of like aging talent and talent that wasn't ready. And it was just a lot. And then you were bandaging up like the slot with guys like Bradley Roby. Like it was just bad all around. Like the band-aids they had to throw on defense. But yeah, it should be better all around, especially.
I'm glad you mentioned Bradley Roby. Speaking of like think about the depth we have at corner now. Like Avante Maddox, like what's his role, do you think?
He's backup safety. If I had to
like
guess.
How
he's
crazy backup. Is that?
Like you got Quinion as the nickel, Cooper's behind him the way it's looking. I don't think slot snaps are going to be hard to come by for Maddox. I think his worth right now is backup safety. I think is where you put him. But Maddox is like a top nickel when healthy and you play him there. But now they have Quinion and Cooper to man that, and then Maddox has explored safety before. They played him there as his rookie, and now he's going to probably take that on as a backup role, and he'll be out there in some packages, I'm sure. Maddox is too good to not use. You'll have to use him in some packages. So the corner depth from this year to last year alone is just night and day from the talent from Isaiah Rodgers coming off suspension. You have the two rookies. You have Slay still here. Bradbury moved on out. So you have a lot of Ringo on the rise. You have Eli Ricks who's making plays. Eli Ricks, I thought they would potentially be a trade piece for a receiver, I thought. And now he's a guy that you have to keep on the roster, but he might be too talented to not play. Like, do you use him and try and get a pick out of him? Like, Eli Ricks is going to want to play, but we're so stacked now at the position that what do you do with him? You can't put him on the practice squad. Somebody will scoop him up in 15 minutes. Like, so it's from a corner standpoint, very, very night and day from what they had years prior. It's going to be fun throughout the year to watch how Vic Fangio deploys them. You don't have Patricia and Desai and whatever else is going on behind the scenes trying to figure out how to play the secondary. Yeah, Fangio now, who's been in the game for a long time. So very excited to see what they do on that front. Last topic I got for the show today. I want to touch on Lane Johnson. He said after practice yesterday that physically he could play until 40. He's 34 now. He turned 34 in May. And he said physically he could play until 40, but realistically he has 2 to 3 years left in him. Steven, when I heard that, first thing I thought of is we need to hurry up and draft a fucking right tackle. That's what it is. Because on the depth chart, Darian Kennard is his backup. And we all know the record when Lane Johnson isn't playing. They're like they're like 11 and I don't have it on hand, but I know that they are under 500 when Lane Johnson doesn't play, and they are well over it when he does play. So your thoughts when you hear about Lane Johnson? We just lost Jason Kelce this year, obviously. Your thoughts when you hear about the looming retirement of Lane Johnson?
I'd have to imagine that first round pick next year might be used on
a tackle, man.
Some sort of yeah. I'd have to imagine. I mean, we'll see. Too early to tell, but that kind of
team is 14.
I mean, we
22.
Thought they were going to use their first round pick this year on one, did we not? We thought they were.
Yeah,
gonna
we thought
use,
if there was a good one, there was a good one. Eagles are 14-22 when Lane Johnson doesn't play, and 89-53-1 when he does play. So it just shows
and now's
you the importance
time,
of Lane
like.
Johnson.
That's the other thing. The Eagles have, like, we always talk about the Packers are, like, the model of this, where they'll draft a QB and bench him for, like, 2 years or have him sit behind somebody. The Eagles do that with offensive linemen.
Hell
like,
yeah,
we're, like, the
do.
Model for
Juergens,
that.
Yeah, Juergens. Yeah, Dickerson, who played and then transitioned. And actually, it was crazy because Dickerson was drafted to be the backup center. Now he's left guard. Then they drafted Juergens.
What did Mailata do? Did he play? I don't know. Did he play right away?
Well, Mailata was fighting with Dillard for a little bit there, and then he like just won that battle outright. I can't remember if he played as a rookie or not. It's been so long now.
Yeah, that's what
I know
mean.
He basically whooped Dillard's ass in camp, and they were like, "Yeah, he's the left
well,
tackle." By like the second day,
he emerged so fast because I remember I forget what year it was. Technically, I guess he replaced
Jason Peters.
Yeah, so. Like, he emerged so quick. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head what year it was, but I just remember coming into that season and all the talk.
Mailata played 15 games his rookie year, so they got him in there quick. He beat out Dillard, and that was it. They drafted Dillard in 19, and then Dillard struggled, and then they brought in Mailata, and then he competed with Andre Dillard in camp and won on, like, the second day, and then that was the end of that. And then they paid him, like, the next year.
He got emerged, like, so quickly. You know what I mean?
They paid him, like, the next year. They gave him an extension right away.
It's crazy.
It was crazy, but yeah, you would think like right tackle is time to go. You would think Lane Johnson gave them like a hint, so like, hey, retirement's coming up. You might want to get on this right tackle thing. I'll help you scout, like how Jason Kelce did. We mentioned Landon Dickerson drafted at center. Now he played left guard. Cam Juergens played right guard last year. Now he's center.
What if there's a guy similar to Mailata on the defense that we haven't touched on yet today?
On the defense? In what sense? What do you mean?
We haven't touched on him yet. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but. His name has got a lot of buzz behind it.
Does it? Eagles defensive lineman? Yeah. It's not Moro Ojomo. We drafted him last year. I don't know. Where are we headed with this?
His primary job is to hunt the quarterback.
Jalix Hunt, you think?
Yeah. What's up with him? Is he gonna have a role in this defense?
He's developing at a faster rate than the team's anticipated. Now they drafted him for his raw talent out of like Houston Baptist Christian, whatever college he came out of.
Yeah, well, Mailata was literally, I don't even know.
They drafted Jalix based on potential, but he's progressing quick, they said. He's developing at a faster rate than the team certainly anticipated. So I wouldn't be shocked if we talked about the expectations for the defensive line. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets in the mix for edge rusher and gets after the quarterback between and Nolan Smith and Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff. I think they have something there. It's not as good as years past when they had Reddick in the mix, who's still requesting a trade. But not as good as that. Huh? If they come full circle,
there's
and bring
no
Redick
way that
back
like the Jets just won't do that just because.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Joe Douglas already said like we're not doing that. Like relax.
Yeah. But
Redick was like, move me again. 2 trade requests, 1 summer. Don't care. but Jalix Hunt, yeah, he's shown good things at camp. Had some good reps in preseason too. He's progressing well. I think they have something at that edge rusher spot. They'll have to see how they use Zach Bond. He's like edge rusher, off ball, primarily off ball in this defense, but played edge in the past. I'm very excited for this defense, but offensively, they should put up enough points to the point where we won't have to have a heart attack every time the team is on defense. But you certainly have high hopes for what they're going to bring defensively. And for Lane Johnson, good to know that he's still around for 2-3 more seasons. Because the team desperately needs him. We see how the team struggles without him. It's a whole different game when Lane Johnson's not in there. He's only allowed 5 sacks over the last 5 seasons, which is crazy to think about. But Father Time waits for no man. So keeping an eye on that. Next year's draft will be fun. I'm sure we'll be scouting tackles at that time and tight ends because you want to have Dallas Goedert's approaching 30. Lane Johnson's retirement's approaching. You want to get tight ends and tackles in here. So we'll keep an eye on that stuff. When next offseason rolls around. But wanted to get up here, talk about Dotson. Thank God it happened before we recorded because we planned to record regardless. And thankfully, this news happened beforehand. So very happy. WR3 upgrade, Jahan Dotson. Very good fit for the offense. An I Smith turn in a corner. We'll see what they end up doing with him. Isaiah Rogers, CB2 for the time being. Lane Johnson, still an Eagle for now, but retirement is approaching. So time to get on that scouting report for tackles, Eagles, as we do in Madden. Time to get those scouts in different.
Already have.
We're looking. Any final notes for you, Steven, before we put a bow on this one?
Just so excited. Like we got a little bit to go yet, but you know what?
2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the first game of the regular season.
Mm.
Friday night. Friday night football on Peacock. Can't wait. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts. And then we got week two, week 2 bombshell of a Falcons team now coming down. They just re-signed AJ Terrell. Oh man, they just extended him. Falcons could be like, if it wasn't for the Eagles, they'd be a sleeper little contender. But then again, Kirk Cousins doesn't win anything in the playoffs, so maybe not. But they got a nice little roster. They're certainly going to be tested these first couple games defensively. You want to talk about a secondary? AJ Terrell, Justin Simmons. We talked about it last pod. Jesse Bates. Week 2 is gonna be something. But yes, week 1, Eagles versus Packers is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So NFL football, meaningful NFL football is right around the corner. They have their last preseason game on Saturday. Cooper DeJean said he is playing. So finally, we'll have something to watch on that game because it's a game of people trying to stake their name for the 53-man roster. People that are on auditions for other teams if they don't make the Eagles roster, hoping to catch on somewhere else. But at least we'll have Cooper DeJean and maybe Jahan Dotson for like 3 snaps if they play him. So we'll see. We'll be on jersey number watch too, because he can't wear number 1 here. We'll see what number he's rocking for that for us number guys. I don't even know what numbers are left because all the good ones are taken. But it'll be fun to watch him play here, these Penn State boys. Thank you guys for tuning in to this edition of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe, Apple iTunes.
You wore number 5 at Penn State. Is that available?
Yeah, well, he's damn sure not wearing McNabb's number. He's not wearing that here. Come on, McNabb. You're the McNabb fan. Come on.
Wait. Oh, that's just Shaquan Brisker that wore number 1. I thought that was.
Oh.
I was sitting here.
Yeah, number 5.
I had it. I thought I remember seeing him.
He's damn sure not wearing that here. He's not wearing McNabb's number.
Damn, he's got.
He won't be. He won't be doing that. We'll see. We'll see what he reps. It'll be. It'll be. It better not be some ugly
15,
in the 80s.
15. 15. 15
available.
Combine them.
15 available.
Let me guess. That's another one. What am I missing?
Is it available for the Eagles?
15 would be fire.
It better not be something ugly in the 80s.
Eagles number 15. Am I missing something?
Better not say number because McKee wears 16. I could get behind 15 for Dotson. That'd be a good number.
I'm telling you.
That's a good number. Subscribe on the to the show, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Rate 5 stars. Leave those reviews. They all help with the exposure.
If he wears number 15, you all have to
acknowledge
me on Twitter if he ends up. I'm saying 15.
All right.
All the good numbers.
I hope they don't give
him
something in the 80s. Yeah, I know all the good shit's taken. It's tough getting a gig this late.
Looks like 15's available. Everyone's taken.
Hey, this adds to the list of how he trades like late in the season. Like he did the CJ thing. What else did he do? He did the he had another late season one. No, that was mid season. What was the late season? He did CJ. That's midseason. He did trades before the season. CJ in recent memory is CJ. What did he do last year? I feel like he did something last year. I can't remember. Fuck. But he's the king of these trades, like right at the end of training camp, seeing what he needs and trading for stuff. I feel like
I got
somebody last year. I can't remember who the hell it was. Damn. Follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Stephen Conrad Jr. Maybe we'll have this answer when we come back. We'll talk after the final preseason game next week to go over our roster predictions, who's making the roster, who's not. And then, of course, we'll be here when final roster cuts to go over that roster at that time as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one. Until then, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
Certainly wasn't Jannard Avery.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.